Many believe that America is overripe for a genuine, widespread spiritual revival. Even many secularists today believe that our nation is heading in the wrong direction. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Kirk Cameron, and he maintains the website AmericanCampfireRevival.com. Kirk, thank you so much for joining us. Great to have you on the program.
Oh, Jerry, it's an honor to be talking with you, and I'm so thankful for all that you're doing. Thank you for having me.
Sure. And I met you many years ago when you were working on your film Monumental, which was based on that monument in Plymouth, Massachusetts. I think in some ways you have been very consistent in saying to America for years now that, look, revival is needed, and one way we can look at how revival can come is to hearken back to the message in that monument. In other words, get back to the message of the pilgrims themselves.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there's so much that I want to say, and hopefully we'll be able to squeeze it all in. But one of the things that I've learned from you and from David Barton and from Marshall Foster and Paul Jaley and so many other fantastic historians, Bill Federer included, is that revivals seem to happen during times of spiritual decline and moral decay. And if those are the prerequisites, I think it's high time for a revival in America.
Now, how did you get interested in all this? I mean, you used to be on a TV show, and that's probably how most people know about you and so forth. Some movies.
Yeah. Well, when you have kids and you care about their future, all of a sudden you get interested in things like history and politics. Why? Because history gives you a glimpse into what will happen in the future if we make the same mistakes we made in the past, and the blessings that will come in the future if we do the good things that we did in the past. And that's why I love that monument in Plymouth, Massachusetts, not because it's an old monument, but because it speaks the truth, almost as though if our forefathers could come back and speak to us today, and we could ask them, okay, what did Trump do right? What did he do wrong? What did Biden do right? What did he do wrong? This whole critical race theory, what should we think about that? The whole mess in with the Ukraine and Russia and the global reset and everything else and how all this stuff seems to be just coming at us like an avalanche. What would you do? And it's like they anticipated this because there's nothing new under the sun. People will always want to control and seize power. And it's really nothing new. It's a problem of the human heart. We call it sin. And the only answer is the gospel and God's word applied to every sphere of society. And that's what the monument tells us. It starts with faith, not just any generic belief in any random deity, but a biblical faith. And it's a faith that is to be reasoned from the word of God and then manifested in personal morality, accompanied with a transformation of the heart by the gospel. And that morality should inform the laws that we make to restrain evil and punish the wrongdoer and protect the good, so that we can educate our children in that biblical faith and morality. And if we educate our kids to the second and third generation, well, they'll grow up and have wisdom and a biblical worldview, and they will have liberty, freedom, both internally from sin and its power and its penalty, and freedom externally from tyrants and bad governments. And then we've got to defend and protect and maintain those liberties and that biblical worldview and the right to educate our children. And this is also critically important, and they left that monument for us 150 years ago, and it's more relevant now than ever before, I think.
Hmm. Oh, and for those not familiar with the monument, we're talking about this gigantic granite monument in Plymouth, Massachusetts. It was unveiled in 1889, and I remember that because I was there, by God's grace, in the 100th anniversary when my
pastor. Wow, Jerry, I thought you were about to tell us.
Yeah, I was there when it was
1889. Yeah. Wow, you're older than I thought.
Yeah, no, I was there when they celebrated the 100th anniversary because Dr. D. James Kennedy, for whom I still work for D. James Kennedy Ministries, even though he's gone on to glory, but he got to be the one speaking there. But anyway, so the monument's this gigantic statue, and then there's faith, and then there's four different sections to it: morality, law, education, and liberty. And, you know, those are kind of like the core values that come out of that. You know, I wonder, Kirk, if we've really overall gone astray in the realm of education, one of those main themes of that monument.
Well, I think what you just said is the most obvious statement of the century. You're right. We have gone so far afoul with education. And that's why it's on that monument. You know, even Adolf Hitler, all great leaders, and I don't say Adolf Hitler in a positive great way, but people who have had great impact on the world understand this one thing, that if you want to control the future, you need to control education of children. Mm. Adolf Hitler said, I don't care if you disagree with my ideas. You're old.
Yeah.
You're going to be gone soon. We've got your children in our schools. And in 30 years, this will be the only community that they've ever known.
That's right.
And Jerry, we think about where our kids are today and getting their education. They're being raised in government discipleship programs. That's essentially what our public schools are. They are run by the government. They're not run by my local community. We're not deciding what's in the textbooks. These are public schools, and we have curriculums and textbooks that are coming down that are becoming more and more uniform, including things with like critical race theory and unbiblical, ungodly ideas that are pushing aberrant views of family, of sexuality, of gender, all kinds of things that are absolutely destructive to the family and to the church and to the country. And our children are also being educated by a compounding factor of exponential forces, and that is social media. Your kids, my kids, our grandkids are being educated by an electronic business platform that is educating them in what to think about God, about family, about the world, about what's good and what's evil. And it's called TikTok. It's called Snapchat. It's called Facebook and Instagram and every other social media platform. It is overwhelmingly influential, and it's being run by people who are ultimately serving the Marxist agenda. And, you know, we could unpack what that is, but essentially it is a corrosive cancer to the very ideas of the Bible and what America was built on. And we're watching the decomposing and the rotting of the souls of our children, our grandchildren, and America. I think that we are headed either for a revival or a civil war. And that war has already begun in the idea realm, and it's being covertly implemented through education primarily.
Wow, that's a very profound thought. Go ahead and just comment briefly on the Marxist agenda, and then we could talk about how do we positively fight all this and, again, you know, hasten the day, Lord willing, toward a great revival.
Well, you know, we watched what's going on up in Canada, and we have vaccine mandates, and we were seeing mandates here in our country too. And then we start to see sort of the surprising, ugly face of authoritarianism we see the truckers and the blue collar workers who are standing for freedom, and we all know that these kinds of things are wrong when our governor shuts down churches but leaves open weed shops and strip shops and abortion clinics in California. But I can't go to church with 10 people to have communion on Good Friday. Something's wrong when rioters are in the streets burning down buildings and that's okay. And police is being defunded while homicides are skyrocketing, crime is increasing, borders are opened up, millions of illegal aliens are flooding in, the economy is being wrecked, inflation's going through the roof. We know that what we're doing is extremely unsafe. And yet when a mom stands up at a school board and says, I'm here to protect my children from false ideas and bad principles, and I'm my child's biggest advocate, and I'm not going to have them learn this at your school, they're called domestic terrorists. Something's very, very wrong. And for those who know history, it's the divide and conquer tactic. Let's divide the people up in racial groups and get them to fight against one another, and divide people up over gender identity ideas or religious ideas or socioeconomic ideas, get everybody fighting. And then in the midst of the chaos, people will demand some authoritarian power to come in and make sense of it all and create some order and provide some safety.
This reminds me of one of those statements from one of the founding fathers. I don't even remember, was it William Penn or was it Patrick Henry, when they said, when the people forget God, then the rulers start to forge their chains, something to that effect. Boy, is that true.
Yeah, that's exactly right. God is our provider and protector. Our founding fathers understood that. The forefathers understood that. It's embedded in 80 tons of granite on that statue on the hill in Plymouth. But when we forget God in our country, we will begin to allow idols to fill the vacuum. And we now have a government in the United States, of all places, that is more than happy to say, I am your provider. I am your protector. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. We'll send you food. We'll send you checks. We'll send you healthcare. We'll send you education. We'll send you everything that you need. Trust us. We'll take care of you. We, the government, are your savior. This is ultimately where the Marxists are headed, is they want to be in control of everything. And we see it all throughout history. This is nothing new under the sun. America was something new under the sun. America was this unique idea that hadn't been tried in 3,000 years since the ancient Hebrew Republic, where people would actually be Christian self-governing citizens of a republic, where they govern themselves by the power of the Holy Spirit according to the word of God under the authority of the Almighty, and they did the right thing without having to be surveilled and monitored and beaten into submission. They did it because they had the fear of the Lord and the love of Christ and compassion for their neighbor. And if we could do that, then we could have a government that was small and limited, because people would do the right thing on their own because they were self-governed. And that's been the most liberating and productive force ever unleashed on the history, in the history of the world on planet Earth. And that's why America has become the freest, strongest, most blessed nation in the world. But we have dramatically strayed from those principles. Boy, and as we do, we are signing our death certificate.
Well, I wish we could talk more. We're basically out of time. I've got enough time to give you a website, and I do want to give one quick quote that kind of summarizes much of what you're saying. John Adams said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." AmericanCampfireRevival.com for more information. Kirk Cameron, thanks for all you're doing, and keep on keeping on, and let's talk again sometime soon.
Jerry, I would love it. God bless you, brother. Keep up the great work.
Okay, thank you. You too.